When I am weak, you make me strong. When I'm poor, I know I'm rich. For in the power of your name, all things are possible. That's exactly the kind of faith-filled, hopeful message that our pastor has declared to this church for 35 years. That's the way he has led us to believe in a God that's like the God we sing about in that song. Let's take a look for just a minute and reminisce. Look at our video screens as we look back over some highlights and some wonderful memories.
Emmanuel Baptist Church has had a rich history all the way back to 1947. And since then, there have been several pastors that have come along and preached truth to this congregation. But it was in 1982 that Brother Carlton was called to be the pastor here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. It was at that time that he stood behind this very pulpit right here. And you can imagine the choir loft behind me, along with the baptistry behind me, and then the piano over here to my right, and the organ over here to my left. And you can imagine all the people coming together in anticipation to hear Brother Crofton preach his very first sermon, entitled, How to Recognize the Real McCoy, using the passage out of 1 John chapter 1. It was at that time, through all the confidence that Brother Crofton brought in that message, it was at that time that the congregation knew that this was God's plan for them to be their next pastor. So over the years, while worshiping in this very room, God worked in some very special ways. And yes, there were some ups and there were some downs, but God had his faithful hand of blessing over this congregation. And it was through the years that Brother Carlson in this room was able to baptize over 200 people. And you can imagine over 100 people at first coming to hear Brother Carlson preach. And that number continued to grow and to grow to the point where only 4 years later, they had to go to two services in this room. Another significant thing that happened in this very room was on December 31st, 1982, not very long after Brother Carlson had gotten here. You see, whenever he had first came, the church was in debt at over $44,000. And so it was at that time that Brother Carlson made it a plan, and he called it debt-free in 83. And so throughout that year, the church rallied behind his leadership. And over those few months, they were able to raise enough money to get debt-free by December the 31st. And they had a note-burning ceremony right here in front of the stage. Because of this, the church was free to be able to invest in missions and ministries and other things that God wanted to use Emmanuel Baptist Church for. And even today, we are very fortunate to be debt-free, following along with that same legacy. You see, it was in this hallway right here where we had classrooms and a nursery. But over the years, this has grown into an office complex. You see, soon after Brother Carlton got here, he realized that he needed a secretary. He needed to be able to open up the office. And so, not too long after he got here, he hired Miss Ernestine Finnegan to be the first church secretary paid at this church. And so over the years, as the ministries have grown and attendance has grown, we've needed more and more staff to include a children's minister, a full-time music minister, full-time youth minister, and an education minister. And along with over 50 different positions that are now on our payroll of this church. And so it's through Brother Carlson's leadership that we now have a multi-staff church. By 1988, things began to grow and flourish like they were before, to the point where decisions needed to be made. The building fund was growing, parking lots were being added, and it was then that Brother Carlton led the congregation to follow that dream. So this right here is the dream that Brother Carlton had in mind. A worship center that could hold the entire congregation for worship. And so as construction began, numbers continued to grow. So finally, the first service came in this unfinished auditorium. On April the 15th, 1990, over 300 people met in this very room in folding metal chairs. And many remember the hymnals that would slide down the slanted floor. Along with other things. But they would also say that this was a time of joy for them as they knew that their dream was being realized. All throughout the years, the ministries in this church have continued to grow as well. Brother Carlton starting the first children's ministry here. He created a viable Sunday school ministry, outreach ministry, men's and women's ministries, along with many others, to the point where today we have over 25 active ministries that happen on our campus and off our campus on a weekly and monthly basis. And along with all of this activity in our church, God has been faithful, and he's brought people to the Lord to the point where in this very room behind me in this baptistry, Brother Carlton has baptized over 800 people, new believers that have come to Christ. And so God continues to be faithful and He continues to grow our congregation in many ways. It's also been on the heart of Brother Carlton an emphasis on missions. All over the world we sponsor missionaries on almost every continent. In India, in Romania, we have orphanages there. In Mexico, all over the world, we are sponsoring missions to the point where he led our church to give over 20% of our budget, of our receipts, to mission efforts. And so we continue that legacy on today. So soon, the congregation began to continue to grow to where it overwhelmed the facilities once again. By the time of 1998, the church had to make some decisions and they decided to go to two worship services, providing enough space to be able to hold our entire congregation. And that's where we are today, where any given Sunday you will find over 500 worshipers worshiping here. So soon after that, the church decided that they needed to add a children's wing. All throughout the years, we've added an atrium, we acquired the Grange campus, which is down the road, which has helped our youth ministry tremendously. But still, over the past 5 years, we are continuing to grow to capacity in our facilities. You see, God has been faithful over the last 35 years in Brother Carlton's ministry, and His legacy continues on today, and we are so thankful for His leadership in our church.
If you've never been a pastor, then you probably don't fully understand or grasp the true role that this person plays in your life. You probably won't be able to understand the life investment required or the sacrifices that it takes. A pastor is so much more than a job that one fulfills or a career that one pursues. Instead, it's a life and a calling that you surrender to. The life of a pastor includes long hours of investing in people, being on call 24/7, and having many sleepless nights because you're up thinking about all the exciting things that God's going to do in the church and in your ministry. It's so much like planting an apple orchard, I would say, which takes months and years to prepare the soil, speaking truth into people's lives, just hoping that some of it will take and they'll continue on with that message, speaking truth into people's lives and taking years to plant the seeds with much prayer. And then the years of nurturing the trees with whatever it takes in the good times and the not so good times, being there as the tree goes through seasons of pruning to ensure future growth. And then after all these years of nurture and care, one day, by the grace of God, you're able to look back over fields and fields of all these apple trees, just filled, overflowing with apples off of each branch. And within each apple, there's a seeds that one day will become their own trees. See, it's by the grace of God that you can realize and look back and see the impact that one person can have by surrendering their will and their future over to a lifetime of service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Brother Carlton, I hope and pray that this service today will be one of those harvest moments for you where you'll be able to look back and see all that fruit that you produced over many, many years. And so it's impossible to put a number on the impact that Brother Carlton and Miss Nancy have had over the lives. But I do want to mention a few things. Over the last 35 years, Brother Carlton has performed over 150 weddings. So if Brother Carlton has officiated a wedding for you, then would you please stand to acknowledge that? Also, over the years, he has dedicated over 140 babies over to the Lord. So if Brother Carlton has dedicated either you or your child, would you please stand for us? We can recognize that. And like I said in the video, Over the last 35 years, Brother Carlton has baptized over 1,000 new believers into the faith. So if you've been baptized by Brother Carlton at some point over the last 35 years, would you please stand up? Wow. And lastly, over the last 35 years, Brother Carlton has officiated over 175 funerals, counseling grieving families in their most painful times. So for this one, I'm going to ask anyone that has ever been especially encouraged by Brother Carlton in a time of need, counseled in a time of hurt, or impacted by his ministry in a personal way, would you please stand up? So, Brother Carlton, this is just a glimpse of the impact that you've made over the last 35 years. So right now we're going to have our Director of Missions, Randy Babin, who's had a long-time relationship with Brother Carlton, come up and say a prayer for us.
Would you join me as we pray? Father, what a joyous occasion it is as we're here today to celebrate the gift that you gave us in this church and in this community 35 years ago in the lives of Carlton, Nancy, and their family. Father, as we think about through the years, as we have just done, we realize that it's by your power that we sang about a few minutes ago, by the power of your Spirit that you've enabled Brother Carlton to see this fruit that's being born in the past and in the present and will continue to be born in the future. Father, transitions come into our lives. You bring them. And there's a transition now going on in the life of Brother Carlton and in this congregation. Father, this is not the end of Carlton's ministry. It's going to go on. He's going to be able to proclaim the gospel in other opportunities and other areas that you will provide for him. He'll continue to touch the lives of people just as he's done ours through these years. And so we pray for him as he travels along this new journey that you're going to put before him along with Nancy. Guide and direct them. Continue to give them your wisdom. And we know that they'll continue to rely upon the power of your Spirit that you've placed in their lives. And Father, we pray for this congregation and its leaders as they look to you now for guidance and direction. We're thankful for this able staff that you've put in place here to guide and lead and direct. We just pray that you would now guide them to the new pastor that you'll have for them in the future. And Father, as we gather here today, we need to pray for those folks in South Texas. So many's lives are disturbed now because of the events of the recent hours of this terrible monster that has invaded South Texas. So many congregations who are not able to meet today because their folks are in other places and their property is destroyed. Father, we pray that you would provide for them, that you would unleash the resources at your disposal to meet every need that's there. Guide us as we continue to celebrate this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us again as we sing, Great is Thy Fame. At this time, it is my distinct honor and privilege to invite to this podium the man of the hour, our pastor here at Emmanuel Baptist Church for 35 years, Brother Carlton Burris. Would you welcome him to the stage?
I'm excited today because after 35 and a half years, Carlton asked me if I had something I wanted to say. So I wanted you to know that I took just a few notes. uh, felt like we needed a little bit of humor. He would never laugh if it wasn't for me, so. Well, one of the biggest, very greatest blessings in my life as pastor's wife is the fact that we got to raise our family in one town. That's something that I wanted from the very beginning, and it's something very uncommon for pastor's families. In fact, we had been told, just plan on staying 4 years everywhere you go and then move on. And so it's with great pleasure that I want to introduce our family. Brad was 5 years old when we came. He's changed a little bit. And then Dusty came a year and a half later. They both started kindergarten and graduated college at ETBU right here in Marshall. What a blessing that was for me. Our daughter-in-laws soon to follow. And they're my favorite because they gave us 5 grandchildren. They both graduated from ETBU, so also here in Marshall. Brent is 15. Beau is 14. Baylor's almost 12. Avery, Dusty's little girl, is almost 7. She's a little over 6. And Luke is 4 and a half. It's been a joy to raise our children with your children and now with your grandchildren. We thank you, Emmanuel, for the love and support that you've given us and for the grace that you've extended to our family all these many years. We love you, and I just wanted to show you how they've grown up around, surrounded. Okay, I asked if I could introduce Carlton just because I know him best and love him most. And so I just have a brief little introduction here. To me, Carlton is a strong and courageous leader, a man of prayer, an overcomer, who has been my shelter of security for all these years, almost 45. An example of integrity for our boys, and a shepherd with sincere love and devotion for his sheep. Amen. Brother Carlton Burris, did you want to say something?
I love you, baby. I want to start at the beginning. On November the 13th, 1982, on a Thursday night, my phone rang. And it was a man named Buddy Hancock. And he introduced himself as the chairman of the pulpit committee for Emmanuel Baptist Church. And that they had received my resume and wanted to know if I still wanted to be a pastor, if God was leading me to be a pastor. And I said, I did. So we talked, and he said that they wanted to come hear me preach. And so, because of the holidays and everything, it was January before we could work out a date. And so, it was very nervous time for me, because I found out later, after I came, that they had no intention of calling me as their pastor. But every time they went through their 42 resumes, it seemed like that my resume wound up on top. And so they finally decided, let's go listen to this young man so we can get rid of this resume. I was a youth and education minister at Myrtle Springs Baptist Church. I had no pastoral experience at all. When I wanted to become a pastor, I felt like that I would begin with a church that was very small, maybe 20, 30 members,
It may out in the middle of a field where they would plow up to the front door and go around to the back and start plowing again. And that's what I expected. And I told our associational missionary at that time, Brother Orr Smith, that that's what I expected to do. And he said, you know, you probably will. Now, my pastor at Myrtle Springs, Brother Mickey Roix, had preached a revival in Emmanuel and had a good reputation here. And him and the current pastor had a good reputation. And so he recommended me to Emmanuel. And Emmanuel wasn't a beginning church. It wasn't a starter church. They were used to having a pastor of experience, a pastor that knew what he was doing. And I was intimidated, and I was trying to work and on my messages and things like that. And I went into Brother Mickey, and he knew Brother Don very well, who had just taken another church. And I said, Mickey, I'm trying to get some things together, and I'm kind of concerned about preaching. And he said, well, Crofton, I just want to be honest with you. You're not going to out-preach Brother Don. Really encouraged me. So in February, we worked it out for them to come after a snowstorm that delayed us a week or so. And so they came, and we were in two worship services also, and they came to the early worship, and it was a little thin on that morning because of the weather. And so Buddy and the pulpit committee sat on the right side, and they all filled up one pew. And so it's very obvious what was going on. And none of them were from Hooks, Texas. Hooks had a population of 2,500. Everybody knew the name of each dog that they owned. And so they knew that something was going on. And a friend in my church, several friends, but anyway, her name was Sharon. And so when she came in that morning, she walked up to that pew, and the pulpit committee had filled up the entire pew. And she just stopped, and she looked at them. Then she looked at me, and she mouthed the words, "What's going on? What's going on?" So she walked down the center pew, and she got to the second row, and she noticed that our pastor, Brother Mickey, was not in the auditorium. And then she began to figure it out. She began to cry. Well, I totally lost my poise, what little bit I had. And I became very, very nervous, and I had 12 pages of notes, double-spaced. I did. And so when I came to the pulpit, I just read each page. And after it was over with, the pulpit committee, much to my surprise, said, we want to come over to your house and interview you and your wife. And so we was about a 10-minute trip. And so we got in the car and started over to our house. And I turned to Nancy. I said, I did a lousy job. And she said, yes, you did. So they came, and we had a nice den and living area. And so Brad sat on the sofa watching the television, and so we sat in a semicircle, and Nancy and I in the center, and everybody else around us, and they asked us questions, and about the Bible and our beliefs, basic things that Baptists believe, which were easy to answer. And so each one of them took a part, and so very, very unnerving. And one man asked Nancy if she played the piano. And after he left, she said, we blew it. I don't play the piano. And so after they left and stuff, you know, that Nancy and I sincerely thought that's it. That's it. And lo and behold, Buddy called me again in the middle of the week. And he said, Crofton, we want to come back. He said, one of our members of the pulpit committee didn't make the trip. And so he wants to come and hear you preach and everything. And so I couldn't believe it, because I was told after I became pastor that on the way home that day, they all agreed that I couldn't preach. So anyway, they came back, same protocol. They came to the house, after they heard me preach, they came and were sitting in a semicircle, and they began to ask me questions. Well, the man that had not come the week before was named Jack Hester. Jack was a jokester. I didn't know that. And I didn't know that he would make me laugh dozens and dozens of times over the next few years. But after the questions started, well, there was one person, Jack was sitting to my left, there was one person between him and me, and we'd asked a few questions, and Jack moved up in his chair, and he said, "I need to clarify something. We're not looking for a preacher." And I'm thinking, "What?" He said, "We're looking for somebody that can play third base on our softball team." Things work out, much to my and Nancy's surprise. They invited us to come in view of call of being called the pastor. And so they invited us to come down on a Friday and a Saturday. And we spent Friday and Saturday in a motel over here in town. And so we were driving to town, and I'd only preached 6 sermons. And Nancy said, "Crofton, do you realize that if they call you as pastor, you're going to have to preach 3 sermons a week? That's 150 sermons a year." Of course, being Crofton, I said, "No sweat. No problem. We'll get it done." Okay? I counted up the other day, and in 35 years, I've preached over 5,000 sermons in this church. 5,000. They had a fellowship on that Saturday evening before I was to preach on Sunday morning. And the reason was, and I found this out later, that all of them did not want them to come Sunday morning, and the first time they met me was hearing me preach. And so they had a fellowship with everybody, and the pulpit committee felt like Nancy and I were a nice couple, and I had a decent personality, and so they wanted to meet them and wanted me to talk to them just in a casual, off-the-cuff way. And so we did. We did. And so the next morning, everything was geared up to happen. And we were in our chapel that's now a chapel. It was our church then, held about 200 people. There was over 100 people there. And it was kind of intimidating. And in that time, they had what they called deacon benches. And they would hold, there was a deacon bench to my left, and there was a deacon bench to my right, and the music guy sat there. And I sit over here. So I'm sitting up here. And the whole time he's singing, everybody's looking at me. I mean, they're looking at me. And I'm getting more and more nervous. I mean, to say that I was nervous would be like saying the Pacific Ocean has water in it. But had a special song that morning. And after she sat down, well, I got up to walk from where I was sitting. To the pulpit. And something changed. I don't know if you want to call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you want to call it the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you want to call it being filled with the Holy Spirit. But something changed. And I began to preach for the first time. And later I realized that the first 6 times that I hadn't really preached at all, that I'd given a pretty good Bible study, but I hadn't really preached at all. And I preached. And I preached. And I was good. I wanted to take notes on me. Afterwards, Kathy Jones, who still plays our piano, she went up to her mother, Doris Jones, who was on the pulpit committee, and she said, "I thought you said he couldn't preach." And Dolores said, "We're just as surprised as you are." Over the years, I've been asked by lots of people and many, many pastors, how did I stay at a church 35 years? Well, this little book is called Called to Stay. And what happened was I was entering my fourth year as pastor, and the church, the attendance had declined a little bit, and I knew the new was wearing off of me. And quite frankly, the new was wearing off of me at Emmanuel. And so I went into my secretary, who was Ernestine Finnegan, and I took her my resume. And I said, Ernestine, I want you to help me freshen this up because I feel like it's time for me to go. Well, the next morning, when I came to work, this book was laying on my desk. Called to Stay. So I read the book. And in this book, it said most pastors leave between their fourth and fifth year because they get depressed just like I was. And it said that you cannot say that you have had a ministry until you have baptized the grandchildren of people that you married. I hadn't done it, but I'm close. So every time that I would come to a decision that I was thinking that it was time for me to leave, I would remember that you hadn't baptized the grandchildren yet. And so I would dig in and stay. You know, we're here today to celebrate my departure. Doesn't seem like it's happening, but it is. I consider myself the most blessed man in the world. I am and have been married for 44 years to the most beautiful little girl and the faithful wife that any man could hope for. I am blessed with two sons who are both committed to the Lord. I have two beautiful and wonderful daughters-in-law who have blessed Nancy and I with five wonderful grandchildren. They themselves are dedicated to the Lord, and they're very committed to raising our grandchildren in the way of the Lord. I'm so blessed. I have had the blessing of working with the best staff any pastor could hope for. Ricky Hall, who's led the music this morning. Ricky and I have been together for 17 years. I have never had confidence with anyone standing on this stage with me, week in and week out. Never concerned about any song that he may pick out. Better than Ricky Hall, and I love him deeply. Jeremy Roberts, who you've heard this morning, we brought him in 9 years ago as our discipleship minister and education minister, and then he became our business manager, and he takes all care of all the mundane stuff, hiring and firing janitors and things like that, which I hated doing. And so he said that he wanted to do it. I said, okay. We had him 9 years when Jeremy was 27 when we first called him. And when I met him, I said, Jeremy, I want you to know that I got socks older than you are. Jeremy's a wonderful guy, incredible guy, incredible minister. I also love him. And then there's Aaron Woodfin. Aaron is our children's minister, and Aaron is a nut. I suppose a children's minister has to be a little nutty. Aaron is well qualified. Okay. I baptized Aaron when she was 10, and then I performed her wedding when she was 20, 22, something like that. All joking aside, Aaron is a joy. And what a joy she has been. Jody Sparkman is one of our two secretaries. Jody has been with us 5 years, although it seems longer. I call Jody Sunshine. She brings so much joy and laughter and loudness to our staff. You never have to wonder if Jody is at work. Okay? Cheryl Redmond. She has been our secretary and my personal secretary after we got more staff for 23 years. We've been through many hills and valleys in the church, but also in our private life, our family life. We pray together. She's an excellent secretary in every way, an excellent office manager. And I can't imagine what the last 23 years would have been like without Cheryl. The only bad thing I can say is that I can't think of any funny thing to say about her. Okay. We are a family. And it will be a difficult adjustment to not see them every day. I'm so blessed. When I look back over all the years, there are so many wonderful moments to remember. This building that we sit together in was built without borrowing any money. Every building, the two-story education building, children's building, and education building. Could get dangerous up here. Also was built without borrowing money. The atrium that you came through this morning is our recent addition. And it also was built without borrowing money. I added up everything, and we have spent over $2 million without borrowing any money to build this building. Over the past 35 years, as Jeremy said, I baptized around 1,000 people. I'm so blessed. This past Sunday, a lady came up to me and said, "You'll always be my pastor. You baptized my entire family. You baptized me, my husband, and my children." I'm so blessed. Long after my time is gone, I will live on in the heart of everyone I baptized. When someone asks them, "Who baptized you?" they will answer, "Brother Carlton Burroughs." I'm so blessed. We have given around $1.5 million to missions. I'm so blessed. We have been the number one financial supporter for 4 orphanages for over 10 years. So blessed. I have been the pastor of the most wonderful church, filled with the most wonderful people any pastor could imagine to have for over 35 years. I'm so blessed. People who have loved me and followed me, even when they were not sure if I was going in the right way. And there is not a church anywhere that has more ladies that know how to make banana pudding. I'm so blessed. I'm about to close, and I want to get serious for a moment because there's several things that I want to say to you. And I want you to listen to me. I want you to accept that it's time to move on. Life is about crossing rivers. life will not allow you to stay where you are. April, after I came as pastor, I preached a sermon called Riverbank Faith. And God has blessed it so many times. I preached it several times over the years. And each time, people would come up and tell me how much it changed their life. Pete and Shelley Sellers were members of our church. And I preached that sermon one Sunday morning, and they both came down that aisle. They were crying their eyes out, and they hugged me. And Pete said, "Carlton, God has been telling me to start a church and to call it River Crossing." And he said, "What you preached this morning is a confirmation I'm supposed to do it." So Pete has started the River Crossing Cowboy Church out at Woodlawn, baptized dozens of people. I feel like I'm a part of that. But in the book of Joshua, Israel once again is poised on the bank of the River Jordan, and they've got to cross over into the promised land. And it's not like it was before. This is different. Before, when they crossed the Red Sea, they got to stand back and watch God do all the work. He parted it. But it wasn't going to be that way this time. And he told them that when the soles of their feet, the bottom of their feet of the priest bearing the ark of the Lord of the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. And then they could cross. It's time to cross. Israel, if they went backward, would go into Egypt and the desert. They had already been there. They didn't want to go back. They knew that life was on the other side of the river. So they knew they had to go. It was in the springtime of the year, and the Jordan was flooded, and it was about a mile wide. And it required faith. They didn't know what was on the side, other side, but they knew they couldn't stay where they were and be under the blessing of God. They believed God would part the water, and he did. It's time for us and Emmanuel to put our feet in the water. New life is on the other side of the river. We may not know for sure what awaits us on the other side, but we both know this. God is on the other side and is waiting for us. We know God goes before us, so we must go, all of us, Nancy and I, and also Emmanuel. Something else. I want you to love each other and to get along. It would break my heart to hear that there's division within Emmanuel. The committee that the church voted on that worked together to build this building that we're sitting in today, we knew that there were going to be times that were going to be very testy between us. And so in our first meeting, we adopted this scripture to be our guiding light. It's from Philippians. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves, that each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I hope all of you will remember that scripture. Another thing, I ask that you be willing to change. The man God is going to send you will have different ideas and vision. I ask that you be willing to follow him. And please, please promise me you will never say, this is not the way Carlton would do it. I do not want you to feel disloyal toward me by showing him love. It doesn't matter how brave he may appear, he will be insecure, and he will cherish your love and your kindness. So please give it. Now this one is for me. You can no longer introduce me as your pastor, so I want to tell you what to say. I hate the words former. I hate the word previous. When you introduce me, please do not say, I want you to meet Brother Carlton, our former pastor. Please meet Brother Carlton, our previous pastor. This is the way I want you to introduce me. I want you to meet Brother Carlton, the greatest pastor. Nancy and I have a scripture that we want to, prayer and scripture that we want to leave with you. And it's our prayer for you, sweetheart.
This is Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14.
Would y'all please stand?
So we bow in prayer before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth gets its true name. I ask the Father in his great glory to give you the power to be strong inwardly through his Spirit. And we pray that Christ will live in your hearts by faith, and that your life will be strong in love and be built on love. And we pray that you and all God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love. How wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. Christ's love is greater than any can ever know. But we pray that you will be able to know that love. And then you will be filled with the fullness of God.
With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. And amen. You may be seated.
Carlton, this journey began 35 plus years ago on a cold, snowy, wintry day, with a pulpit search committee composed of Dolores Jones, Ernestine Finnegan, Ann Schock Snyder, Jack Hester, Frank Bruce, Ken Talbert, and myself. I was privileged to serve as the chairman. IBC needed a pastor. You were serving as youth director under Pastor Mickey Rourke at Myrtle Springs Baptist Church, located in Hooks, Texas. Brother Mickey had preached a revival at IBC, and he knew we were looking for to replace our previous pastor, Don Perkins, who had recently resigned. Brother Mickey wrote me a letter and recommended a young man named Carlton Burris, whom he thought could meet our needs. Carlton had very little preaching experience, 7 sermons, I think, but was a great guy. Myrtle Springs was having 2 Sunday morning services, and we arranged for Carlton to preach in the first service. Our full committee could not be present, so after much discussion, we decided to ask Carlton to preach a second time. After some scheduling problems were solved, Carlton preached again. We at IBC are so glad God put us together. Now, it didn't hurt at all that Carlton could play softball and had a great wife and son. Thank you for your service and dedication for all these years. God bless you and your family. God's not through with you yet.
You answered the call and obeyed God's command. He sent you here. We know you're in His hand. Your message from the Word touches all the very soul. We've seen your faithful.
Carlton and Nancy, you guys are so loved. We just thank you so much, Nancy, for your sacrifice and for letting us share your husband with you for all of these years. Carlton, you have truly been there for the greatest and the lowest times of most of our lives. And there's not a major milestone that you haven't been a part of for the majority of the people in this room. And when I think of a word to describe you, I would think faithfulness. You haven't been perfect, even when maybe people expected you to be. But we thank you for your faithfulness and for continuing in the faith and for growing generations of Christ followers. Thank you for being there for births and walking us through relationships and just all of the things that you have been a part of, weddings and even the dark times, and helping us process and holding our hand through loss. And we just, again, thank you for all that you have sacrificed and all that you have given. And I'm thankful to know you. I'm thankful that you were such a major part in my story. And I know that so many in this room would echo that as well. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your legacy that you're going to leave. Generations to come are going to know the Lord because of your faithfulness. I just thank you so much for being my mentor, my pastor, and my friend.
Touches all the very soul. We've seen your faithfulness, and we want you to know. Pastor, we love you. We appreciate all you do. And God sees the sacrifice you've made for Jesus Christ.
My name is Adam, and I'm the student pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Lake Charles, Louisiana. But before I was here, I was a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church. Me and my family moved there when I was 2 years old. And from that moment on, I've had the distinct privilege of saying that Carlton Burris is my pastor. As we think back today and try to honor him, my heart is filled with thankfulness for the impact that he's had in my life. When I was 9 years old, we stood right here in this church, in this baptistry, and Brother Carlton baptized me, and we declared to the world that I had been saved. Several years later, we stood on the same stage, and as me and my wife exchanged wedding vows, and Carlton was there officiating that. There have been many conversations that I've had with Carlton that have blessed me. I've called him with ministry questions and personal questions and poured out my heart to him, and every single time he's pointed me to the Word and pointed me back to trust in Jesus and his plan. And I'm so thankful for the work and the faithfulness that Carlton has displayed over the years. It's been a blessing to me personally, to the ministry that I get to be part of now, to my family, and I cannot say thank you enough for a man who has been faithful to preach, to pastor, to love. And I have so many memories of camp and growing up in the youth group here, and always knowing that I had a pastor who was faithful to the gospel and faithful to be genuine with us and share of his relationship with us. I'll never forget the very first youth camp that I ever went to was in Oklahoma, and we started every morning with a mile run at the request of your pastor, my pastor. And man, I didn't necessarily like that part of it then, but I have so many memories of growing up with Brother Carlton. And today is a day to say thank you, a day to say may God bless you, may God just be with you as you transition to this next phase of ministry. For me, I'm thankful for the impact that Carlton has had on my life, and I join you in praising God for his faithfulness today and for so many years. So thank you, Brother Carlton.
Sacrifice you've made for Jesus Christ. You pray for the lost. say, my child, well done. My child, well done. In the still, quiet place, on your knees in prayer, God sees your tears, hears the burdens you bear. The Lord's by your side, blesses all that you do. Through the good and bad times, He'll see you through. Pastor, we love you. We appreciate all you do.
And good morning, Brother Carlton. The purpose of this video is to simply rejoice in the ways in which the Lord has used you over 35 years of ministry. So it's a joy of mine to be able to attest publicly the ways in which the Lord's used you in my own life. I had the great opportunity of growing up in Emmanuel Baptist Church as a child. I came to faith in Jesus Christ in this church. I grew in the Lord under your ministry. But I also had the great opportunity of spending many hours in your home. It was there I was able to not only observe your love for Miss Nancy, but also for your two boys as well, of which we all know Brad is undoubtedly your favorite. And now this time of observation did a number of things in my life. Number one, the Lord used you as an instrument to put in my heart a desire to be a loving husband and to be intentional with my own children. But secondly, the Lord used you to nurture within me a greater love for Himself and to love His people well. And even though my tenure as a pastor is relatively early in its beginnings compared to 35 years, I look forward to following the tremendous example you've set before this church, and I'm grateful to the Lord for you. To Miss Nancy, my wife and I would like to extend a big thank you to you as well. You've been an exemplary helpmate all these years, and we are thoroughly convinced that you do not receive near enough recognition in this journey of faithfulness. On behalf of our family to yours, we wish you nothing but blessings in this next chapter of retirement.
My name is Mickey Roerix, and I was Brother Carlton's pastor for a few months before he came to Emmanuel Baptist Church. Carlton probably gave me one of the greatest compliments that I've ever been given in the fact that when I went to Myrtle Springs Baptist Church in Hooks, Texas, he endorsed me to them as a candidate and then as his pastor. I appreciated everything that Carlton did with me, and we worked together. And then he came to Emmanuel Baptist Church, or went to Emmanuel Baptist Church. The main thing that I can say about Carlton is that Carlton is probably one of the most intensely faithful people that I've ever known in my life. He loves God. He loves Jesus. He loves the ministry. He is the ultimate pastor and preacher and teacher. And I think more than anything else that he loves people. It's evident in his track record how much he loves people and how much they love him. And I congratulate him today. And I congratulate each and every one of you for working with him down through the years. God bless you in the days that are ahead. And God bless Carlton.
Well done, Pastor, we love you.
He's been a blessing in my life for all those years. And as a while ago when Jeremy was going over everything, I grew up a Methodist. So all I'd ever had a little sprinkle on me. And he baptized me in the other sanctuary many, many years ago. And yeah, I did catch that little blonde girl, and he married us. And he's baptized my three children, and I'm very proud that he is my pastor and my friend. And I just, it's hard to lay tribute to the the greatest pastor ever, right there, Carlton Burris. Would y'all come up, please? The Finance Committee and the Personnel Committee has have a special gift for him for his many years of service. And I know Nancy's tried to keep him in line all these years, and she's done a great job. But we want to honor you with this gift, and it's for y'all. Thank Love you. Y'all very much. Glenn Bickerdike has got another presentation.
I'm Glenn Bickerdike, representing the Personnel Committee. And it's certainly going to be different serving on this Personnel Committee without you being our CEO. And I don't know where that book came from 30-plus years ago, but I'm sure glad you decided to stay. I say we love you. A couple of gifts. We tried to do this discreetly. What Mike presented was presented through the church budget. We tried to discreetly gather a love offering, which we've done, and we're going to present. I guess since you got that one, I'm going to give this one to Nancy. If you haven't had the opportunity to contribute through a love offering and you would like to honor them as they move into retirement, you can. There's envelopes in the pew. We'll take an offering at the end of the service, and you can write Burris on there. Or if you're not prepared, you can certainly drop that by the church office and give that to Jody, and we'll see that they get that. And got another gift here. I'll read it. It says, "You have changed the world because you've touched our lives. 35 years of ministry, Emmanuel Baptist Church." Certainly a lot of things that contribute to your legacy, and I think there's none more than your commitment to God's Word and not wavering from it. You haven't added to it or taken from it, and that's why you've had such a successful ministry here, and God has blessed you in this church, and we love you.
Not really sure exactly where to start to say thank you to Nancy from all of us. Now, you have a choice. You can stand here and let me thank Nancy, or you can go sit down and I'll thank Nancy. What do you want to do? Okay. I'm so glad they had a little bit of laughter in this. I was real nervous that there wouldn't be much. Nancy, for all the times that supper had to wait, or you ended up eating alone because Brother Carlton was called away to minister to one of us, we want to say thank you. For all the times in the middle of the night you were startled awake by the ringing of the telephone, only to rise and make coffee as Carlton prepared to go be with someone in this congregation who was facing a crisis, we say thank you. For all the times you sat alone at a wedding rehearsal, a funeral service, for all the receptions, for all the dinners you had to attend and endure for us, we say thank you. For all the times that you drove alone to a gravesite while Carlton rode in the car with Bill Sullivan or whoever happened to be driving that day, just so he'd have a way to get back home, we say thank you. For standing by his side, supporting him, praying for him, and making a home that was a safe haven for all of you through the ups and downs that this church has been through. For the love you have given us and the sacrifices you have made because of us, we say thank you. You've done it all with dignity and grace, Nancy. You've never lost sight of who you are as a person, a wife, a mother, and most of all, a servant in God's kingdom. You are a real lady in every sense of the word. Not once in 35 years have you given anyone a reason to question your character, your loyalty, or your faith. I know that for a fact, because my mother was the one that said all those things about you, and I had to ask. And we're so glad that you learned to preach while you were with us. It is my honor. It's my honor and my privilege to wish you the best in retirement and to thank you for all you mean to us. This is a new chapter. It's a new beginning for both of you. We hope that you enjoy every day and every minute of it. We love you, Nancy. And now it is my privilege to, you may be seated. We have just one or two more things, we promise. We wanted to give Carlton's sons an opportunity to speak to their father on the day of his retirement. That's always so special. So I'm going to introduce that cute little four-year-old that was up there in that video, this Brad Burris, and I'm going to turn the service over to Brad.
Thank you, Miss Kathy. All right, I've read through this several times, so hopefully that'll help me not break down a little bit, but I've kind of been a... Ricky called me the other day, asked me to speak, and I said, sure, it'd be great. We got off the phone and started crying. Golly. Text Nikki, I said, I'm crying. Driving down the road crying. What's wrong? I should have called her and not texted her, but I did. So I've cried pretty much every day since then, cried this morning through this, but... It's going to be different, but... It is a sad day, but it's also a happy day. I'm excited about the future for IBC and especially for my parents, for their future. So I appreciate you asking me to speak. I want to thank all of you. I want to do two things. I want to thank the church for everything you've done for our family, for your support. And then I want to thank my parents. For you, IBC, I can't thank you enough for your love and support you've shown me and my family over the last 35 and a half years. Over the last few weeks and months, I have reminisced over everything that has happened since we arrived here in February of 1982. The church has supported our family through thick and thin, good and bad, and everything in between. Through this church, I have developed lifelong friends. Mentors and many people that are like extended family to all of us. By us being here in Marshall, I have met even more lifelong friends. Business partners, acquaintances, and last but not least, the love of my life. I am truly grateful for you allowing us to be part of such a great church and a great community. When I was growing up and be out with friends that didn't go here, we'd run into other members of IBC. At first, my friends would be like, how in the world do you know all these people? After that happening numerous times, then we would see someone and they would just look at me and say, let me guess, they go to your church. And I would just smile and say, yep, you're right. Church league softball, RAs, VBS, children's choir, being part of the sacrifice and going on men's golf trips are all things that I'll always cherish. I'll never forget the tent revival we had right here on this ground, the citywide crusades at Maverick Stadium. Dad telling that umpire that he was testing his Christianity after a bad call. And of course, how could I ever forget one of our ushers blessing the food when he was supposed to be praying over the offering. I took his name out, but it was Mr. Hallam. During our time here, I've been blessed to have gotten married in this church, and more importantly, to have been saved and baptized, and being able to watch all three of my children do the same thing. IBC has been a huge part of my life for the last 35 years, and it will continue to be in the future. I am who I am today because of this church and for all of you. Our family can't ever thank you enough for your love and your support. Thank you for this service and for honoring Dad in such a special way. We are here today to honor our pastor, who also just happens to be my father. My parents have mentioned to my brother and myself several times over the years, how they have felt being a preacher's kid was hard on both of us. They've apologized for life being different for us and have always thought we were under a different microscope than maybe some other kids were. I want them to know that that was not the case. And while, yes, we had to share our father with all of you, And yes, we were exposed to things and close to situations that most of you never knew about. But that's exactly what made us the men we are today. I can't imagine being raised any other way. Thank you both for always leading by example and showing us exactly how a Christian should live their life. There are a lot of great individual people in this world, but a lot of the time success is achieved as a team. While my dad has been the pastor of IBC for the last 35 years, he hasn't done it all by himself. As they say, behind every good man is a good woman. The driving force behind my dad has always been my mom. My mom was there to push him when he needed pushing, and she was there to pull him back when he needed pulling back. And I can assure you she spent more time pulling him back than she did pushing. She has been a perfect pastor's wife. Her advice, support, loyalty, and love has helped my dad be the man and pastor that we all have seen for the last 35 years. And for that, we thank you, Mom. These are some of my dad's best quotes, in my opinion. I've never met anyone that told me I followed Jesus and it screwed up my life. Life with Jesus is hard, but life without Jesus is impossible. I used to think that following Jesus was an important decision, but now I know I was wrong. Following Jesus isn't just an important decision, it's the only decision in life that matters. And for all of you that were a part or around of any IBC softball, IBC, thank you, Jesus. We all know there was only one perfect man that has ever walked this earth. While there are many great people in this world who have strived to live up to the example of Jesus, I'm here today to honor a man who's done everything he could to be a constant example of how to live our lives. No, he isn't perfect, but I can't think of anyone who's tried to do the will of God more than him. Time after time, he has proven to me and to all of you that he is a man that has followed God's plan for his life. I know that you can all agree that he has had a profound impact on Emmanuel Baptist Church and to the city of Marshall. How exactly has that happened? It started with him accepting the call that God had called him to preach, but it didn't stop there. You don't get the results that we've had at IBC by just showing up. You don't go from 35 or 40 families in 1982 to over 500 families today, baptizing over 1,000 people, performing hundreds of marriages and funerals, to leading citywide revivals, and to being the spiritual leader of a community. You have to do much more. So what does that look like? And how does that happen? It happens by getting up at 4 a.m. on Sunday mornings to pray over your sermon and for all the people who will hear it that day. It happens by your kids coming home, and when they can't find you, only to find out that you're in your closet praying for hours. It happens by coming up to this church and walking through every part of it, praying that God would bless each and every aspect of it. It happens by speaking the truth. He has never stepped back from preaching the truth of God's word, no matter who gets offended or what's going on in this crazy world. It happens by loving people. He has a unique way of listening to people, speaking to them in a loving way, while telling them what is right or wrong, and at the same time not making them feel any less for the wrongs that they may have done. It happens by being there in the darkest hour of people's lives. The hardest thing for most people to do is to comfort in a time of grief. He has been able to do that time and time again. I can't begin to tell you how many people have come up to me over the years with stories of things he has done for them and their family. And the vast majority of them never even went to this church. All the time, through my daily life, I get questions like, are you related to Carlton Burris? Is Brother Carlton your dad? Do you know the preacher at Emmanuel Baptist? Are you the same Burris? Yes, I am. Each time that is followed up with a story of how he's touched your life. Just this week, I had 3 different people ask me how he was, what was going on with him, and how the church was doing. And every one of those men ended our conversation with, your dad is a great man. And I couldn't agree more. All of that is how you help explain what has happened here at IBC over the last 35 years. No matter if you call him Carlton, Carlton Ray, Brother Carlton, Brother C, or as some of my friends say, Bro C, I think we can all agree he is one of a kind. How I deal with people, how I deal with different situations in life, and on my work ethic all come from you, Dad. You lead by example, and I am who I am because of you. This past week at our back-to-school convocation, our guest speaker was Dennis Swanberg. A lot of you know him. He's hilarious, but he has a lot of really good points. He spoke about planting shade trees for which you will never sit under. All of these people here today are shade trees that you have helped plant. They will continue to grow for years to come and will still be growing long after you're gone. One other thing he said was, not everyone can be a legend, but everyone can leave a legacy. Dad, this is your legacy. Everybody here and the others that have already gone on to heaven. IBC will never be the same, and Marshall, Texas will never be the same. While a lot of people leave legacies, most don't reach the status of a legend, but I believe you have done just that. You are a legend, Dad, and I can't thank you enough for being who you are. I hope you enjoy your retirement, and I pray God continues to bless you and that he continues to bless all of us here at IBC. Thank y'all.
And then, of course, last but not least, the youngest son. You are the favorite. You told me you were the favorite. Well, somebody else said he was.
He was just joking. Everybody knows who the favorite is.
Dusty Burris.
Well, I shouldn't have let him go first. I don't know why I did that, but he stole all my stories, but that's okay. But I, as I was thinking about this morning, a passage kept coming to mind, a familiar passage from Lamentations chapter 3, the verse, the song we sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness, comes from this verse. It's chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. It says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that was just sort of the theme in my mind as I thought about Dad's ministry here, of God's faithfulness to us as a family, to this church. And I just want to say to you, echo the thank yous that Brad said to this church. You guys mean so much to us as a family and to me personally. I would not trade my childhood here for anything. And God has been faithful. He is faithful, and he will continue to be faithful. And just as God has used my dad here, he will use the next man here to continue the work. And so have faith in that, and we look forward to what God's going to continue to do here at the church. But thank you specifically for the way you've cared for us, and especially in the last few years as Dad's had different health challenges. You guys have been by their side, by our side, praying for us, loving us well. And we feel that, even in Dallas, my wife and I feel your love and care for my family. And we're just so grateful for the way that you have taken care of us over the years, and especially in these recent years. To Mom and Dad, I just want to say it has been such a joy to be your son in your home, but also to have you, Dad, as my pastor. I would not trade that for anything. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in the church, but also in our home. Thank you for showing me what it looks like to have a healthy marriage, to pursue a healthy marriage, to love one another through the ups and downs of life. I echo Brad's words that Mom has stood behind Dad faithfully every day of ministry, praying for him. And he has worked so hard, tirelessly, to love our family, but also to love the people of this church through the best times of life and the most difficult times of life. He has been with you, and he's been with me. I've never felt, even as a pastor's kid, though Dad was busy and he often got called away to things, I never felt neglected in anything, whether it was from playing a baseball game or it was leading worship and learning to play guitar or learning to preach. Dad was with me in everything, and never have I felt neglected in any way. Thank you, Dad, for the tireless way that you have studied God's Word to preach week in and week out. If you've ever taught a lesson of any kind, whether it's a Sunday school lesson or preached in any way, you know there's a lot of work that goes into that. But to do that week in and week out, and for much of his ministry, three times a week, is an amazing feat. And I praise God for the way he sustained you in that, and thank you for faithfully dedicating yourself to God's Word. I agree with Brad. Many feel sorry for pastors' kids. They feel that it's a hard life growing up sort of in a fishbowl environment where everyone sees your life. But I would say it's been the greatest blessing of my life. It has made me who I am today. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade this church for anything. And I wouldn't trade my family for anything. We love you so much. I'm so thankful to be a part of this celebration. Congratulations to you, Mom and Dad. We love you.
Well, what a day. What a day. What a special day. What a special family. What a special man. I just want to say a few words myself of what a joy it has been to know Carlton Burris all these years and to serve on staff with him. Carlton has been my pastor for most of the biggest part of my adult life. No other man has pastored me longer as an adult married man than he has. When Lee and I got married as very young folks, we joined this church immediately back in 1985. And then we were here for a few years, and we went away a few, and then we came back, and we've been here the last 14. So for over 20 years, he has been our pastor. He's baptized both of our children. He helped me to process my call to full-time ministry when I lived here the first time, and I never will be able to tell him enough how grateful I am for that. As God began to speak to me and deal with me about that, I prayed with him. Talked to him many times about that, and he was very instrumental in helping me to understand what was going on in my life and how to respond to that. He has kept me on course. I can't say how many times throughout my time here, Carlton has said just the right thing at just the right time in my life, through a message, in a staff meeting, or just in a personal conversation. There have been times when I was just about to veer off course. And the Lord would use him to speak. And to say something that was helped to plant my feet back on solid ground. I can't thank him enough for that. I can't thank him enough for being fresh every week. Like these guys have talked about, he has preached here for 35 years. And every time he steps in his pulpit, I have always had confidence that I was going to hear something fresh from the Lord. Because he has never just melded in. He's never just shown up. He has always prayed diligently and asked and begged the Lord to give him a fresh new word for his people. What an example that is to me as a minister. And to our whole staff. He's been a great man to work for. And I love his strong leadership. He's always had very definite ideas about what he wanted. And I like that. Even in our music ministry, he has had a great voice in the way the worship ministry, the music side of that goes in this church. We've had many conversations. Although he wasn't a micromanager and didn't try to tell me everything to do, he did speak into that. He loves music. He's always put a high priority on that aspect of our church life. And he's brought many wonderful songs to our church, suggested those to us, none greater than the one we're about to sing right now. Just a few years ago, Brother Carlton brought this song to my attention, introduced me to it, and I praise God that he did. Let's stand together and lift this up to the Lord as we sing, Behold Our God.